This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi reported recently that the savings rate for millennials was in the negative territory. Later in the show, how to help the 18 to 35 age group boost their savings. First up this afternoon, President Obama's call to end the Cuban embargo and allow freer access to the country by Americans continues to stir heated debate. But for years, U.S. citizens have been traveling to Cuba to explore its culture. This afternoon, we talk with a group from Mount St. Joseph University who is heading to the island country for an educational and cultural trip. And joining us are Mount St. Joseph University Associate Professor and Team Multicultural Special Education Program Director, Dr. Clarissa Rosas, Mount St. Joe Assistant Professor of Literacy Education, Dr. Angela Kinney, and Mount St. Joseph graduate students in the Multicultural Special Education Program, Joanna Clippinger and Natalie Robinson. Thanks to everybody for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Angela, let's start off by talking to you about why go to Cuba to study their educational system.
Sure. So this actually began with my interest in Cuban baseball. I'm a lifelong baseball fan and, of course, a Reds fan. So a few years ago after the Reds signed Aroldis Chapman and other players from Cuba, I began to do some reading around Cuban baseball. But in my research, I came across some of the surprising statistics regarding Cuba's education system and some information about its literacy campaign of the early 60s. And at the Mount School of Education, we're, of course, always looking for new opportunities for cross-cultural exchange to provide our students with, you know, a broader perspective of both education and the world. And combined with the fact that this is a country, despite its proximity to the U.S., in many ways it's still a mystery to us. So it seemed like a wonderful opportunity. And then subsequent to our planning of the trip, in December, the U.S., of course, began the process of normalizing relations with Cuba, which makes it an even more exciting and historic time to be going.
Angela, go ahead.
I was just going to add, on a more personal level, aside from the emphasis on education, obviously, I'm really looking forward to relationship building with some of the people, some of the teachers in Cuba, and just kind of curious to get to know more about the country and its people. And hopefully challenging some of the perspectives that we do hold toward Cuba.
Well, you were saying you were surprised by some of the things that you discovered. How does Cuba's literacy rate compare with other countries?
Their literacy rate is near 100%, and this is based largely on, first, the literacy campaign that took place after the revolution in 1961, and then some of the changes to the education system in Cuba around the time of the revolution and since then. So it remains, the literacy rate remains close to 100%, which is really impressive considering the embargo and the economic situation of the country, but that's much, much higher to other, it's Latin American neighbors, certainly.
Clarissa, how extensive of an educational system does Cuba have?
Well, they start off with their preschool through college, and it's free for all of the Cuban citizens there. They also provide child care for children from 2 to 4 years of age. So it's quite extensive. What we have found to be interesting in our research to prepare our students for the trip is to look at the literacy rate as it pertains to children with disabilities. The Multicultural Special Education Program at the Mount is specific for children who have a disability, who also come from a cultural different than mainstream culture. What we have found so far to be interesting is that they look at the overt disabilities, such as visually impaired, physically impaired, but not necessarily the covert types, such as a learning disability that you don't normally see from a visual perspective. So our two students here, along with our other students, will be visiting how they address special needs. So to add to Dr. Kinney's literacy, we're very interested to see how are they developing literacy for those children who truly do have a disability, and what does that mean, and how do they account for their success rate?
Joanna, can you... Joanna, can you tell us some of the highlights of the trip?
Well, besides being in different types of schools, urban schools, rural schools, pre-kindergarten, you know, high school, all levels, we're also going to get a chance to visit some different areas of the country. We are specifically, what I'm looking very forward to is going to Binca Vieja, which is where Hemingway lived.
Really?
And, yes. Yeah. And he actually, this is where he wrote The Old Man and the Sea. So that is on my list of books to read before within the next 3 weeks, because I want to know exactly what is in that book and sit at that porch and envision him coming up, creating that story, and being well aware of that. I'm looking so forward to that.
And I understand that there's a visit to an eco-village as well?
Yes, yes, there is. And that will interest me, too. I grew up on a farm. I live on a farm. So, you know, ecology and, you know, nature are very important to me. And, you know, I'm so much looking forward to seeing that as well.
Clarissa, these eco-villages that are in Cuba, those are, I guess, to some extent out of economic necessity, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yes, they are.
They are. It's dealing with the fact that there's been an embargo going on. Also, they no longer get the Soviet financial support that they did. So the economic hardships they faced are spurring these things, right?
Absolutely. So we're very interested. We're going to actually be spending the day and the evening. There are a couple of days, actually. We'll be there to learn more about the ecosystem.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Natalie, what are some of the things that you're hoping to learn from this trip?
I am very interested in going to the School for the Blind and Visually Impaired and learning about their special education system in Cuba, and also visiting the University of Arts of Cuba and the other dance school that we are going to be going to. And just working with the children in Cuba one-on-one and seeing how their culture works and being immersed in the culture.
Joanna, how about you? What are you hoping to gain from this and learn from this?
Well, I teach high school Spanish at Madison High School outside of Middletown. And I do need to say hello to all of my students and all of my fellow teachers who are listening right now. And I have to give a special shout out to my sixth period class, who I told them they have to take a test during this time in my class and not get to listen. So I told them I'd give them a special shout out. But I can't wait to get down there and learn as much about the culture as I can so I can share that with my students. We've done some prep work already. As I'm learning things about Cuba to prepare for my trip, I'm giving them material to learn. And we've had lots of great discussions on cultural differences, political differences, but also how we're the same, and we are, you know, people are people, and we have just as many similarities to differences. So you know, it's very, very exciting for me and my students as well.
Angela, how many people from Mount St. Joseph are going on this trip?
We have 10 graduate students from the Multicultural Special Education Program, and then Dr. Rosas and myself are the faculty facilitators.
And is this the first time the university has participated in a trip to Cuba?
This is our first trip to Cuba, but Dr. Rosas can speak to a trip that took place 2 years ago to Germany within the same program.
Yes, since our program is in multicultural special education, we want to give our students as much immersion experiences as possible. So in 2013, we traveled to Germany to learn about the inclusive programs. It was an exchange program where we met with their teachers, their special education teachers, our students as well, taught in the classroom, and then we continued our correspondence in terms of inclusion. At that point, Germany was just in the beginnings, or Bavaria rather, was in the beginnings of the inclusive process, so we were able to bring our graduate students out there to give some great ideas in terms of how we do it in the United States, as well as to learn from them. So this is adding to that experience as well.
Did either of you, Joanna or Natalie, take part in that trip to Germany?
No.
No, okay. No. But Natalie, how's it feel to be making this trip to Cuba?
I'm very excited. I've wanted to go to Cuba forever, so I'm really excited for this opportunity, and I've been telling everyone about it and looking up all the places we're going to go, so it's really exciting.
And then how about you, Joanna?
I'm equally excited. I studied abroad in Mexico during undergraduate, so this will be my second experience of going to a Spanish-speaking country, and I just could not be any more excited than I am. I'm just, I'm so looking forward to the cultural experience and to see what life in Cuba really is like.
Clarissa, how many different schools are you going to be visiting on this trip?
We will be at 5 different schools. Actually, the students are preparing a lesson that they will be teaching on Sunday, which kind of surprised me. They actually have school on Sunday. So for Joanna's class that's listening, school in Cuba on Sunday. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, on Sunday morning, our students will be teaching an art lesson. Actually, 2 classes they will be teaching. So we will be out in the schools probably almost every day, at least for 5 days. We'll be out in the schools in the morning.
So those are the educational aspects of the trip. But what are some of the cultural aspects? We heard you're going to visit Hemingway's home and the Eco Village.
Well, we're going to the dance school as well, which Natalie is already talking about. We're also going to go to the Jose Marti Museum, which is probably Marti is a very, very famous writer from Cuba. And so I've had some of my students actually read some of his poetry, my older students that are a little bit better at Spanish than the beginners. But so that interests me as well, and I'm hoping to get even some more information to take back to my community and to my school for my students to learn even more about that.
And we'll continue our conversation after the break. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon from Mount St. Joseph are Dr. Clarissa Rosas, Dr. Angela Kinney, and graduate students Joanna Clippinger and Natalie Robinson, as we talk about their upcoming trip to Cuba, which is March 29th through April the 5th. And do you have any concerns about safety going on a trip like this, Clarissa?
Well, there's always concerns about safety, but common sense is really what it comes down to. We're fortunate that we have some very mature students, and so just using your common sense, we're really not worried about going to Cuba, per se.
Natalie and Joanna, do you have any concerns yourselves?
Not at all.
I'm traveling makes me a little bit nervous anyway, but I'm not scared at any point, I'm just more excited than scared. I can't foresee any issues, safety issues coming up.
And this is, as we were saying earlier, this is quite a common trip anymore. I mean, a lot of groups have gone to Cuba on educational cultural exchange trips. So it's gotten to be pretty routine, I take it.
Yes.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Angela, a number of U.S. universities and colleges offer opportunities for their students to study in Cuba. So has the U.S. higher education system been out front and played a role when it comes to improving relations between the two countries?
I think in many ways, yes, just in terms of, the people-to-people exchange and truly learning from one another and interacting on a personal level. I think in many ways, yes, universities with these types of programs have been and continue to be at the forefront of that.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Hunter in Middletown. Good afternoon, Hunter. You're on Cincinnati Edition. Hello, Hunter.
Hello.
Hi. Did you have a question for us?
How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yes. It's for Joanna Clippinger.
Yes, Hunter.
On the radio.
Okay.
Is this Hunter Ortiz, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, I thought so. Hello.
Is this a setup, Hunter? sounds like a setup to me.
I think it might be one of my students.
It's Hunter. It's Ramon from Sam's class.
Okay, Ramon, ¿qué te pasa? Okay,
good.
She's testing you.
We were wondering what kind of food you're going to be eating in Cuba.
Well, whatever you have at Mexican restaurants is not what I'll be having because we're going to Cuba, right? So it's going to be more of a of a Caribbean feel. I'm sure that I'm going to have some tostones, which are fried plantains, various meats. You know, I probably will have to report back to you when I get back, and I'll tell you exactly what I had to eat. But it'll be more tropical foods.
What about you, Natalie? Got any comments on food?
Food. I love food, so I'll probably try everything that I can. I'm not sure much about the food in Cuba yet. I've been reading a little bit about it, but I'm definitely looking forward to the plantains as well. And I'll try pretty much everything.
We're going to be fortunate that we're going to be spending some time in terms of food. We're going to eat at paladeres. And paladeres are parts of the Cuban families have part of their homes that they open up kind of like a restaurant where they order or serve certain foods. And so we will be taking our students there. So we're going to stay away from the tourist trap kind of places and try to get right into with the people in terms of our eating habits and so forth.
Joanna, one of the first times I ever had this combination, I thought it was really interesting. Went to San Jose, Costa Rica, had breakfast, and they actually offered black beans with scrambled eggs. Is that kind of a common thing in Latin America? I mean, I loved it.
Not throughout Latin America, but in those Caribbean areas, yes, black beans are a common food.
Beans in general are. It's not unusual for Hispanics to have beans with your breakfast, you know.
And I thought it was a great way to start the morning. Black beans, good Costa Rican coffee. It was delightful.
Nice and strong.
Yes, it was. And Clarissa, can you give us some of your thoughts on the move by the U.S. to reestablish relations between Cuba and the U.S.?
Well, in terms of the move towards that, I think it's opening up more opportunities for groups like ours to go out there. We haven't seen so far in our preparations too much of a difference. And what we mean by that is we're able now to use credit cards over there, but it's very limited where you can use the credit cards. They have not relaxed the impuesto, the tax for American dollars being converted to the Cuban peso. So hopefully we're right at the cusp of all of this going on. So it'll be interesting to see as we're traveling what other relaxations there are in terms of our relationships.
Angela, improved relations, likely they're going to lead to more and better opportunities for educational and cultural exchange between the U.S. and Cuba. How do you think this helps improve the situation for the Cuban people?
You know, that's a great question. I've heard just in various, you know, interviews and television and radio, sort of both sides of this. So, you know, I think it's a very complex, complicated situation, and I don't know if that's something that I could answer, but it will certainly be interesting to see.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with Luciana, from Augusta. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. I don't speak Spanish. Maybe Joanne can help me with that.
Dr. Rosas also is fluent in Spanish.
Yes, this is true. But anyhow, you're on Cincinnati Edition. Welcome.
Hi. Well, what can I say? I'm very excited that you are taking a group to Cuba. I was born in Cuba in 1946. And then, of course, I came to this wonderful country of the United States where I was given a wonderful education and a great future. But I do want to tell you that there is such an excitement to get Cuba back into the swing of things, you know, because there's so much beauty in Cuba. There's so much great nature that hasn't been spoiled. And I am very excited myself to someday be able to go to my country again. Nevertheless, I do want you to know that you will be heavily indoctrinated in the communistic thoughts. And one of the things that they're going to tell you that in Cuba no one could read, that in Cuba no one had doctors, available doctors, and so on. And fortunately, I had three teachers in my family, and some of them were rural teachers. That means some of them had to take a horse or a truck to go to their schools. And I know for sure that whoever wanted to be educated had plenty of time to do so, and many Cubans were educated. Nevertheless, there were people who I remember myself asking, why don't you send your kids to school? And they said, well, we never learned to read, and we just don't think that they need it either. So, you know, you find that sort of situation probably anywhere in the world. But as far as health, almost every little town in Cuba always had a clinic, and clinics were completely free. So, you know, you're going to get sort of many different views. And as far as the food, I used to own a little restaurant in Augusta, Kentucky called the Beehive Tavern, and the Cuban food is completely different than the food of Mexico. Cuban food is more like the food of southern Spain. We do a lot of paella-style rices, you know, some with chicken, some with fish, and we do black beans, we do brown beans. We do something called lechon asado, which is like a pork.
I've learned to love black beans. Yep, learned to love black beans, absolutely.
Exactly.
Let's let the folks here respond to some of the things that you've said. And thank you very much for the call.
Right.
We appreciate it.
Nice talking to you.
Likewise.
Bye.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. One of the other great foods, since we're talking about foods, is the roasted pork. And in many of our Latin American countries, we do different kinds of things with the pork, the matanza, where you build a pit and you roast the pork in there. So that would be something else that our students will be experiencing as well.
And Clarissa and Angela, you can weigh in as well. Are you concerned about getting an unfiltered look at the country, as he was suggesting, that may not be entirely the case while you're there?
We certainly will have a guide with us at all times, 7/24. So that alone will tell you that we're probably not going to get as much of the native perspective, perhaps, than what we would have liked. But that is part of the plan, or the restriction, if you will.
Okay. Angela, what's your take on what the caller was referring to earlier?
You know, interestingly, the dean of the School of Education at the Mount took a trip with some fellow educators from Cincinnati Public Schools back in the late 70s and had kind of given us the same warning that there is some amount of indoctrination to be expected. But as Dr. Rosa said, that, you know, and, you know, as our students will certainly be forewarned of as well. That's something to be expected. That, and we'll, you know, we'll kind of listen to and view what we're seeing through that lens, you know, with those expectations. So,
let's talk with Tammy in Cincinnati. Good afternoon, Tammy. How are you doing? Hello, Tammy. Okay, well, thanks to everybody for joining us this afternoon. We're having some problems with that particular phone call. Mount St. Joseph University Associate Professor and Team Multicultural Special Education Program Director, Dr. Clarissa Rosas, Mount St. Joe Assistant Professor of Literacy Education, Dr. Angela Kinney, and Mount St. Joseph graduate students in the Multicultural Special Education Program, Joanna Clippinger and Natalie Robinson. We'll have you back in May to tell us more about your experience.
Okay. All right.
Looking forward to it.
Coming up next, be sure to tune in for the new America Abroad documentary called Cuba and America After the Thaw, and you'll be able to hear that on March 12th at 7 p.m. on WVXU and WMUB. And after the break, how to boost the underwater savings rate for millennials. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.